You're listening to episode 76, brought to you by The Same Page Podcast. For more details about the launch of this new podcast coming August 27th, go to thesamepagepodcast.com. Listening to Cultivating the Lovely with me, Mackenzie Monroe from cultivatingthelovely.com and Bold Turquoise across pretty much all social media, along with me,
Leah Bowden from leahbowden.com and Modern Miss Mason. And today we are talking about your educational choices, the educational choices that we have across very broadly, really, from homeschooling through to all kinds of institutional school environments. So we're going to dive right in and start to talk about that.
Yeah, I think that Leah and I have a lot of things to be able to talk about this, especially because we've kind of both had experiences now in all the different realms. And yes. So, and for me, I know, like, we're going to talk about what our plans are for this year. And for me, it's been a huge adjustment. I mean, okay, so I'm going to share this from a story perspective.
Yes, do it.
So, I mean, backing up, obviously, last October, my life imploded. We left. We moved in with my parents. We were trying really hard to push through with homeschooling for the year. I did end up signing my kids up for a parent partnership program through a public school, which they were going part-time. So they were still, like, technically by law homeschoolers, but they were still a part of this program. And I mean, I should also say, like, I have been the fiercely independent homeschooler. I have done that, but I've also come to that point where I realized we needed more help than I was able to provide for my kids. And that was really when I was wanting to reach out to the program, the parent partnership program, because I really couldn't afford anything else. And so we moved forward with that. And that was a great fit for last year as we were having this major year of transition. And just, I felt like I really needed that support. My kids were able to get one-on-one tutoring from that program and all kinds of things that I just couldn't have given them on my own, especially with our living situation, just feeling less than settled the way I would want to be. You know, it was just, it was a major transitional year. And at first, I was very, very much like, I am just going to make homeschooling work all the way through. Like I'd always planned, I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to, you know, I will make sure that I can homeschool my kids forever. Like I'd always thought that I would. But as time wore on, I realized, like, I can't. Not, I mean, I would love to, but there are, for a whole variety of reasons, I don't think it's wise. Like, I need more time to be able to work. And even looking at where my kids were at each with their education, there were certain things that I felt like not only that I just couldn't help them with, that we were needing to get outside help for them, but the struggles we were facing were so significant that it was coming in the way of our relationship.
Well, and I also think just from small transitions, I say small, I mean big, really, transitions we've gone through whilst homeschooling. Homeschooling requires a lot of emotional attention.
Yes.
So from the mother. So if you are going through a tough season, especially when you don't know if that's when that's going to end. So if you're moving house or you've had a baby, they are big transitions when homeschooling, but you know it's going to change. You know, for you currently, you're not sure when this is going to look any different. You don't know how it's going to look. And that requires a lot. I know for me as an introvert, my emotional energy would be done on my own life situation. So then trying to invest, then find some more to daily invest in my children, which they deserve, would be a real challenge. I can understand that completely.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, there are so many difficult things about it because, I mean, it really was heartbreaking for me. It's a shift in how you had always seen your children growing up. And it was really a big shift in even my own identity. I mean, I had been a homeschooling mom. I mean, I started reading homeschooling books while I was pregnant with Roman. It was,
wow.
I had always wanted to pursue that, and we were very entrenched in that lifestyle. I mean,
yes.
My friends were homeschoolers, and, you know, a lot of this community are homeschoolers, and I don't want anybody to ever think that I don't support homeschooling now, or that I don't ever want to talk about it, or because that's not the case. I still definitely have a heart for it, and is still, I mean, just like with the new podcast, which we're going to be talking more about and more is going to be coming out on. We have an upcoming episode of Cultivating the Lovely that's going to talk all about this new podcast called The Same Page. But that was really born out of my heart for wanting to still invest in my children's education and be able to connect with them.
Right. That's so important. Yeah.
So, for me, it's been, I'm glad we've had this year to kind of transition out of homeschooling, to kind of get our feet under us, realizing, okay, this is probably where we're going to be heading, for my kids to get little snippets of school by going to this program one day a week. So they kind of got used to what it means to be in an institution, you know,
for a whole day. That has been helpful.
And so by the end of the year, I mean, there even was a time, because Roman was very much like, well, no, I want to be homeschooled. I always thought I would be homeschooled. And we kind of had this discussion like, but do you really want me to be your teacher anymore? Because I don't know that this is good for the two of us. Like, I don't know that I want you to have to be accountable to me for learning math. Don't like me when you're learning math. Oh. And sometimes I just want to be your mom, and you can be mad at somebody else about math.
Absolutely.
So, and I know that's not, like, I'm not telling all homeschoolers whose, you know, kids get mad at them for assigning math, like, throw them in school. that's not what I'm saying either. But I think that, especially because we have, like, learning challenges that have been present with a couple of my kiddos, that has made the process feel a lot harder and a lot longer.
Yes, I'm sure.
And there's a certain amount of just wanting to be able to be their emotional support and their mom, and not be the one who they're having to struggle with daily about those things.
Right. Yeah. I think the big picture here is that we are fortunate to live in countries where there are many, many educational choices.
Yeah.
And we are able to have a freedom to research all those philosophies and ideals, and even places we can take out. I mean, we have so many choices. You have many more than we do, really. But we have freedom to be able to do that, which is incredible. And it's, no matter how much we can get on our, you know, our kind of idealistic, picturesque world of what homeschooling should look like and how we want to raise our children, when it comes down to it, and life hits us in the face, and the reality of life is, you know, there right in front of us, we have to look at what's right in that season for the health of our children, for the health of our homes, for the health of their future. And I think it's really important. And also within the cultural context that we live in, you know, so for me, with our story this year, it's kind of what are the national requirements that my children need, and what are the best ways to do that? In your context right now, it's for the health of yourself and your children, and for you to be able to support them.
Yeah.
You need the time and the energy. Therefore, you've got to make the right choices that are going to be an all-round healthy choice. And, you know, if we truly believe, as Charlotte Mason says, that our children are whole persons, that they are, you know, we are reaching into them mind, body and soul, then we have to look at them like that, like what's right for them right now, not just what book am I putting in front of them, but how am I putting things in place for their future? And how am I going to approach that? And if you're not going to be able to be fully present, mind, body and soul in that process, I think it's important to make some different choices and to be free in that and to be okay in that. I mean, how have you felt, you've kind of started to share this process, but how have you felt yourself? Has this been a difficult decision kind of bearing in mind the public opinion that
Yeah.
you often get faced when you're out there. I mean, how have you found that so far?
I mean, it still is hard. I mean, I think a lot of people are realizing, like, oh, she's not a homeschooler anymore. Is this going to totally change her platform? She has this
Right.
course called the Lovely Homeschool Course. And, you know, I mean, that is scary. That's hard. It's hard to face because I know, because I've been a more staunch person in the past. I mean, I really feel like this last year has had to reframe really how I think about almost everything.
Oh, sure.
But I think it's brought me to a place of being able to have so much more grace for people who are having to make different decisions than what I thought. Like, this is the one way to be able to do it. And so I understand those people who are like, wait, no, you're wrong, because I've been there. But I also am like, but there's so much more. And I think God is so much bigger than we give him credit for.
Yes.
And I mean, I have been on the side of, oh, public school, you'll lose your kids. You're just damning them if you put them in public school. Like, you just are losing every way to be able to impact them, and you're turning over they're going to be raised basically by their teachers. And, you know,
Yeah.
I get that, but I also have so much peace that this is
Yeah.
the right process for my family right now. And I feel like God has given me so much insight into how to be really impactful in the time that I have with them. Because
Yeah.
this has been a year of being spread so thin, and really even leading up to this year, as things were getting just more and more difficult, and the demands that were being put on me, and the emotional demands, and all of that kind of thing. It's been very hard for a while to feel like I could be good at all the things and keep all the
Yes.
balls in the air.
Oh,
And
sure.
I think this last year, really trying to think about being a provider and getting everything done that I need to get done, I'd never feel like I have any time to just truly focus on them. And
Right.
it's always scattered. You do this while I quickly do this on the computer, and then I'll come back with you and I'll help you with that. Like, I don't want to be that kind of mom. That's not how
No.
I want my kids to remember me or remember our interactions together. And so, in some ways, when we finally came to that, okay, this is happening, there's no going back, this is the way that we have to go forward, and kind of that peace descended on me, I realized, okay, at least I'll be able to segment my life more. And the time that I don't have my kids with me, which I'll still have my 3-year-old with me most of the time,
Oh,
but,
of course,
you
yeah.
know, which I'm grateful for. And she will be going to a little preschool like 2 mornings a week. But other than that, she's pretty much going to be with me, which is great. I'll be able to hopefully work while she's napping in the afternoons and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like, okay, I'll get my work done during school hours, and then I'll be done. Like, I'll finally be able to set those work hours and then actually focus
Be
on
with the
them.
children.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And be
yeah.
able to look into their eyes and hear their stories and not just be constantly distracted by the other things that I haven't had the time to fully focus on. And so I feel like I'm going to be better in all those areas because everything will have its own set time to be able to get it done.
Yes, no, I can see that. How do you prepare your kids for that transition? Have you done certain things, or are you, as I guess this year when they've been into kind of, they've kind
Yeah.
of been transitioning this year, haven't they? I
Yeah.
guess that's been helpful.
I think that definitely did help having them in that program just one day a week. And then, I mean, we've been having the conversations for 4 or 5 months now. So we kind of knew it was coming. And my daughter, who's going into first grade, she is very much like, I will rule the school and I will be ASB president. And, you know, I mean,
Love it. Yeah.
she's totally just ready to rock the school. And so she hasn't really needed much transition. I think, like, for Roman, who has always been a homeschooler, I think it was a little bit harder for him to wrap his mind around. But he went to he or right now, actually this summer, he's going to a literacy program that is 3 hours every morning. And younger son, Judah, is in that program as well. And I feel like it's a good transition for both of them to kind of realize, like, okay, this is what getting up every morning. Judah, actually, the last half of this school year, he was in a private school.
Okay.
But he's going to be going to public school as well. But I feel like this program that they're going to every morning, it's like we're kind of being eased into that. Okay, you got to get up every morning. You got to get everybody out of the house. Something we've never yes. had to do every
no,
morning.
No, I know.
It's a huge transition to wrap my brain around.
It is.
Yeah. And so just those little things, I think, are helping them to warm into the school year and realize that it's really not going to be that bad. My oldest son was really dreading doing this literacy program, and then he got there and they really make it pretty fun.
And yeah, I'm sure they do.
So
yeah.
He's like, well, okay, maybe school won't be so bad. And my younger son, my 9-year-old, the private school he was in was, it was not my choice, and it was really not great. It was very workbook-based. They actually sat in a cubicle by themselves working on these workbooks. No one teaches you anything. There's never any other, like, real books around. It's just workbooks all day long. You check your own work.
Oh, I know that.
Like,
yeah, okay.
Torture. And so I think he was so burnt out by the end of the year. And so getting to this program, he's like, oh my goodness, like, it can actually not be as torturous as sitting there with a workbook 6 hours a day or whatever. And so I think even for him, even though he's kind of had the institutionalized experience, it's a little bit like, ooh, we're on the upswing. It's not that bad. So, yeah, I think those are some of the things that we've done. And then just, you know, getting them their backpacks, picking out a backpack that they really like, and making a big deal about, oh, we're getting your school supplies, and giving them their input on what they want and how they kind of want to present themselves to other kids next year. I think that's part of that transition. And I really feel like by the time they go, they're going to be mentally ready. So that's good.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Ladies, we're going to take just a second to talk about our brand new podcast that is launching August 27th under the Cultivating the Lovely umbrella. It is called The Same Page, and it's all about fostering the atmosphere and sharing the stories that lead us home. It's meant to be a podcast that you listen to with your kids in the morning, either before school or at the breakfast table if you're homeschoolers. And it's all about keeping us on the same page with our kids, talking about the same kinds of deep, wonderful information like Shakespeare and poetry, and even sharing classic children's novels together. We are kicking off this fall with The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, and we could not be more excited. We have so many amazing things wrapped up in this podcast. The core episode will go out on Mondays that you listen to every single day of the week to help you memorize the poetry and Shakespeare and everything. Then Monday through Thursday, we will release a new chapter from a classic children's novel. They're pretty quick. All the episodes combined will take you only 10 to 15 minutes to listen to in the morning, perfect for a short car ride. And we really think you're going to love everything that we have to offer. Members of the new podcast that join us in the Patreon community, we are calling Dorothy's. And these ladies get access to our Yellow Brick Road community. It's all about leading us home, right? And we've got more resources and information. We've got articles, an exclusive podcast all about what this actually looks like being used in someone's family. We've got ideas for taking it farther with the atmosphere, how we can really make that atmosphere wonderful and lovely for our children and ourselves, and how we can be working on our heart atmosphere as moms, because that's usually the thing that we really need to be able to improve and get past so that we can really connect with our kids. It really boils down to relationships. That's all what The Same Page is about, and we think it's a fantastic resource for you guys to be able to use. So join us on August 27th, and if you want access to our full schedule and all the other goodies that are happening right now, then join us at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely. We would love to have you there. All right, on with the show.
Our situation, or our story really, is very much to do with our cultural context. Mm-hmm. So here in the UK, once a child gets to months to 14, 15. So for us, it would be, I always get mixed up with the difference between the American grade system and the UK year system, but it's basically year 10 and 11. So I think that, I'm not sure, I'm assuming it's the first couple of years of high school. So they would be like 15, 16. And then once they hit 16, they can do an apprenticeship, but they have to kind of do some study along the side. As long as they're doing some study, they can work once they're 16, which is amazing.
That's awesome.
Really.
Yeah.
Or they can go to do further education. So it's so kind of around 15, 16, they, and I say require, you know, the national norm is for all children around that stage to take GCSEs, which are General Certificate of Secondary Education, and you take them in specific subjects. So we kind of zoom right in on, you know, what do you want to study very early in life here?
Yeah.
So for instance, you know, you would do maths and English, of course, and then you'd do some kind of science. Everyone does that. And then you would do, I don't know, business studies. You might do computer science. You might do geography, history, but very subject specific. And you would study that particular syllabus that goes alongside that subject. And then after 2 years, you take an exam and then you are graded on that exam. And then you've got those. They're almost, I describe them to my children like a ticket. They're a ticket to help you move on.
Yeah.
They don't define you. They don't form your identity. They are a ticket to help you make choices in this country.
Yeah.
To move forward. Now, they are, you know, it's not a legal requirement to do these. So you will get some home educators who do make other choices and use other curriculums. Not many people do. Because generally what you find is once the child wants to go to a different, you know, to go into further or higher education, they will get asked, okay, how many GCSEs do you have?
Yeah.
And that's when you kind of, well, I didn't do them. I did something else. And occasionally you've got these stories of homeschoolers getting in on good interviews or having other qualifications. But the general way, and for me, it avoids embarrassment for our kids. You have to have very confident children to sit in an interview situation and say, I don't have GCSEs.
Yeah.
You know, very confident. And good on you if you've done that in the UK. Amazing. But Dave and I decided with our kids, you know, they wanted to do them. We said, this is the path we'll go once you get to that stage. We want you to have a few tickets to be able to make better choices. So that really is the way. Now, you can do them at home. You could, there are various there are various setups around the country who support homeschoolers doing GCSEs at home. It's a very, very different educational outlook than my kids have learned over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's textbooks. You sit, you look at a textbook, you learn what the examiner wants you to learn, mm-hmm. and you tick the boxes and you answer the questions and you basically get into the head of a national examiner and you're like, right, okay, what do they need me to do to get this? Now, you know, imagine that in contrast to a Charlotte Mason education. Like, so we actually tried. So if you do them at home, they're not funded. You don't get any funding. They're pretty expensive. And you might want to do five subjects. Mm-hmm. So it could be quite a few, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds to be able to do that at home. We trialed one with our eldest daughter. We said, okay, let's give this a go. Let's try one at home. And what we discovered is that it just wasn't healthy for anyone.
Yeah.
Like anyone.
Yeah.
Her, me, for our household, for the other children. The pressure of, I mean, really what she needed was she needed my attention 24/7. We had different expectations. My expectation is that she'd be more of an independent learner by then, you know, and that's what homeschool mums have told me. Yeah, you can do them at home because they're independent learners. You just sit them down with the syllabus and they'll go through it. Well, that was not our story.
Yeah.
that is not how she approached it. So long story cut short, we started to really pray and look into what is the best way here. And she said, I think I need to do these in school. So we gave her that voice into that situation. So we found an academy locally that takes them in at year 10. It's a small academy, so they all start at the same time and they just do the 2 years and they do the exams. And it has been a big transition for her. It hasn't been the easiest transition, but she is now thriving. She's just about to finish this week her first year, and then she's got another one more year when she will complete the exams and then she's done. And she's come out the other side. She's been picked to be a school prefect for next year. She's done really well
And
in
what does that mean?
so you kind of represent the almost like a leader in the year. So you're chosen to be, she's obviously got this leadership, they see leadership in her. I mean, she's just excelled socially and academically, and the way she's her character, you sort of look and think, okay, the groundwork over the 10 years of homeschooling, you start to see the fruit of it. You begin to see where things come into play. And she sat and said, oh, I miss homeschooling. I miss the books around the fire and the slow mornings and the stuff that, but actually, she has already been trained in business and entrepreneurship, and she's starting to get ready for the adult world at the right time. And my mama heart has not found that easy. And you end up, it kind of makes it even busier because you've got kids at home who you're educating, and then I'm signing letters and planning her days and paying money out to this. But it absolutely was the right thing, and we are equipping our children to get these, to jump on these stepping stones and to get these tickets to be able to make better choices for their future. And really for us in the UK, that has been, yes, a little bit of a means to an end, but it's also been the best way to do it. And we've just said to our children, make the best of this time, shine like a light in that time. They're not little children anymore. They've had 10 years of homeschooling. So my next son down, he's 21 months younger than Naya, so he will start that process in September, and he's excited. The school that he's going to, again, it starts at year 10, so there's nobody younger than him. They're all starting at the same time. There are quite a few of the home educators who are going at the same time as him, which is really fun. It's an engineering focused school, so it's he gets to study engineering, very science heavy. And it just, it's amazing, really. Is it the best school? No, it's not really. But we will make the best out of it. And we will make that work for him. And we'll see what the transition will be like for him. So so come September, I'll have my two older children studying for their national exams in the school system, and my two younger children will be home with me, continuing our rich and varied education from our living room. And that we're all ready for that. We're all readying our hearts, for that. But it's an interesting end of an era, really, having all of them home. And so we'll be coming into our 11th year of homeschooling. So I also feel for my younger two, they're going to get me to themselves, which will be, they're excited about that. And also, they're getting their mama with 10 years under her belt of experience. Our older kids are always the guinea pigs, aren't they? But yeah, it's interesting. When Naya first made that transition, I did feel a little bit kind of, how am I going to communicate this? I always thought I'd homeschool all the way through, and we do these exams from home. So it is humbling, but it's also a reality check because they're humans. They are human beings. They are whole persons. They are, I have to give them a voice. I have to, and we have to work within our culture, our family, our season of life. And we have to be real about that. No matter what that looks like on Instagram, no matter what it looks like in our blog post, no matter what it sounds like, against things we've said before, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Have to
absolutely.
right now, what's in front of your face? What are you dealing with? And what is the health? What are the healthiest choices for your whole family and the community you're a part of? And we have to be free to do that. And there's a grace for each season.
Yes.
You know, we've covered this season in our family with so much prayer and guiding our children. And, you know, really, we are doing just as much educational support with Naya, getting her through this.
Oh, I bet.
And actually, it's, you know, the evenings doing homework with her, helping her do her art projects. My husband, more than me, is kind of doing tons with her because his background is design. And so he's been doing all these art projects with her and coaching her. And you do, when they're older, you become more of a coach in their education. So we definitely haven't taken a back seat and said, there you go. You know, UK government, you do the job now. We haven't said that.
Yeah.
We've said we are delegating part of this responsibility to somebody else now, but we are very much still in the seat with them and we're doing this with them. Yeah, but it's not, it hasn't been the easiest transition, but it's been the right transition, definitely.
Yeah. Well, and that's so encouraging to hear from, you know, a mom who's a few years farther along in the process and really having to kind of grapple with those same things. But I mean, I think I feel very much the same way you do. It's like, I know the homework's coming. I know that this isn't just like signing off. Okay, I don't have to worry about it anymore.
No way.
I mean,
no
it's, way. It's definitely been weird heading into this fall being like, this is the first time I haven't planned lesson plans and I haven't been shopping for school supplies in terms of just like what we have at home. It is definitely different, but I am having fun getting to plan, I mean, like our morning time thing, which is with the Same Page podcast, but even like thinking about what books we're going to read. Like we can just pick what books we want to read. It doesn't have to be about any sort of agenda of information I'm trying to get into them. I can just enjoy books with them. And I'm looking forward to those kinds of things that I feel like for a few years now we've been so focused on, ooh, these are the parts where you're having difficulties and we've really got to focus here. And so we almost never got to get around to the juicy stuff, the fun parts of homeschooling that I think are why a lot of us homeschool in the first place.
Yes, and that's true.
So now I feel like we get to have those great conversations about literature and share these stories together and make those kinds of memories that were really being held back by so much focus having to go towards the difficult parts of what we were trying to get through with the learning disabilities and everything. And so being able to look forward to those kinds of things and be excited about them, I think has also helped with the transition.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
I think there is an element within home education where we have to remember that we're a mother first.
Yes.
And, you know, I know some incredible mothers who have children in school, but they're so good at being intentional about their discipleship of their children, they, you know, the activities they do within the care. And I sometimes looked at them and thought, you know, this sometimes looks even healthier than some homeschooling families where you're rushing through the day and trying to get your own stuff done and trying to get your cleaning done and throwing some books here and there. And you really have to look, I think you have to do a sober assessment of your time and the rhythm of your day and where your heart is, because it's one thing saying you're a homeschooler and you know you've taken on that responsibility, and depending on your philosophy and what you really believe, how that looks and what that works out like. But I think you do have to remember we're mothers first, and you know, like you said, some of the stuff that's supposed to be part of homeschooling, the kind of richness around books and having that discipleship time together and really taking responsibility for that, often it doesn't happen because you're so stressed about ticking the boxes and getting the stuff done and running your own business at home and getting the housework done. And I think that it's good to stand back and look at what does it really look like? What is the reality?
Yeah.
Beyond the pretty pictures and beyond the bookshelves, what does this look like for us, and what can I do to strengthen what I actually set out to do? And that's why whenever I'm talking to somebody about homeschooling or family life, you have to ask the question, what's your vision? What do you want it to look like? And I think even in your season, Mackenzie, when you don't really know what the future holds or what's unraveling, you can say, in this next season, what's my vision? What are the things that I want to do with my children? What's the heart of my, what do I want the rhythms to look like? And listening to stories whilst driving them to school and having time together at the end of the day with a drink and a snack and just making sure you're in their faces. And I think that we can do that. We can say, what am I setting out to do? What is the vision for my home, for my homeschool, for the rhythm of our educational day, whatever that looks like? And what can I put in place to make sure that happens? Otherwise, the new year will begin again and it runs away with you. And you get burnout. That's why you get mums by Christmas just exhausted because there's no vision. There's no outworking, the heart. And I think we can do that no matter where our children are at, where they're going, how we're educating them. We can all have a family vision. We can definitely all have a vision for our household.
Absolutely. And that I hate to like hijack this episode and talk about the new podcast, but it truly is so much where like exactly what you're talking about. It came out of that wanting to be intentional with that time that I have with my kids and use it well. And I knew that I still wanted to be able to speak into them with poetry and Shakespeare and scripture and all of that, sending them out into the world, like hanging on those things every morning. But I knew that I wasn't going to have the capacity to get out the books every morning while we were having breakfast and make that happen. Like, I know that's not a reality. And so that's when I started thinking, well, how can I make it a reality? Okay, well, I could just record it so that we could play it in the car because we have nothing better to do in the car. Well, if I could, if I could use this resource, then maybe other parents can use this resource. And it was just, that is so exciting to have this kind of passion project come out of, this is something I really just wanted to do for our family. To still hold on to some of those things I wanted to be able to instill in them, but also realize like this can be so impactful for so many families, and it can be a way for other moms to take some of that pressure off of themselves and not have to do all the planning of it, and but still be able to be really intentional with their kids during, just the few moments they have before, either before they homeschool or before they send them into a school setting.
Yeah, that's exciting. We'll definitely be listening.
Yes, I'm
It sounds great.
very excited about it. Well, especially because my kids are doing it with me, and so that's super fun too, because you get to hear their little voices on it, and
Oh, so good.
they're doing just such a fun job. There's few things more fun than hearing a 6-year-old recite Shakespeare. So, and
Absolutely.
like
That
do
is
a
the best.
decent job at it as well. Like I'm so
So good.
excited for.
It's good.
But so for your younger ones that you are going to have it still at home, do you feel like that it's going to look different than it has in years past, or what is that going to be like?
I don't think it'll look that different. I think we'll have a little bit more freedom to go out and about a bit more. I think with having the older ones at home, they're a heavier workload. So we weren't part of many co-ops or groups or anything. We did have our, we've got our own that we run from here. But also, I think it's more my attention and even my emotional attention because there's a little bit of an age gap between my older two and my younger two. So I would be very conscious of ma overseeing and kind of managing my older two and their as they became more independent learners. Kind of okay, are they what are they doing? Making sure they're on task, kind of thing. Checking on them and then going back to being one on one or two or one on two with my younger two and working through them. I think having that element gone, so it's just the three of us, and we'll probably get our school day done quicker actually, because I was spreading things out a lot more. We'll probably spend more time outside, even more than we do already, which I'm excited about, which has always been my vision, really. And just kind of, I think part as well, what they're excited about is pursuing some of their gifts and skills, some of the things that they're particularly good at, that I may have said kind of what, even to do with expressive arts and drama and some of the stuff that my younger two are just amazing at, that I've never had time to find a club or a group or a we've never really had the space for that, that I've said to them, right, we'll explore maybe a drama group or something, which would be great for
Fun,
them.
yeah.
But the rhythm of our day will look very similar to how it has. But I'm also going to be introduced, and some, I think the other thing within the Charlotte Mason philosophy is, I'm very, I keep that very wide and very free. I create my own plan within that and pick my own books. But some of the stuff that didn't really click with my older two, I'm beginning to realize may do with my younger two. So introducing different elements and different books and different languages, that I kind of said I put aside because my older two didn't really, it didn't really fit for them, or they didn't just wasn't a great the greatest choices. My younger two are very different learners. They see the world very differently. So I'm excited to try out some new stuff that I've been learning. Bringing some of the stuff that I've been reading and learning about and try it with them. So yeah, so it's very similar rhythms. A little bit more room, a bit more space to move with them, which is great because my older two had quite a few years of just having me when the younger two before they were born or when they were toddlers. So yeah, we're all looking forward to the space, I think, and we're not intimidated by the transition because we've been through it already. We've already done 1 year of that slow transition. Yeah, well, let's wait and see. I think it'll be great. Yeah,
Yeah, we'll
they're
check in
excited.
6 months and see how we're both
Def
doing.
definitely, yes.
Well, I think that's really good. And I guess like the last kind of parting words I would want to encourage moms out there, like if you're struggling or if you've just been homeschooling for a while. I kind of know a few moms who are doing this sort of thing where, wow, they've been homeschooling for 7, 8 years. Like sometimes it's just good to do a reassessment, even if you're not wanting to just abandon homeschool completely, just to kind of see where you're at and what resources might work better for you or things that haven't been working for you. Like give yourself the grace to be able to really honestly look at that. And then if you're not feeling that, if you're one of those very convicted moms or families who are just like, this is a path we're on, hell or high water, we're in it for the long haul, and I get that, but have some grace on those mamas who are really just feeling their own capacity. Like, I think just like you were saying, like, our children are whole persons, like Charlotte Mason says, like, we are too.
Absolutely. We are. Yes, we are. And I do talk about that a lot. I think how we view ourselves, you have to look at the impact on you. I think it is good. I think taking a little break, and just having that assessment of how am I doing? How's my heart doing? If you are feeling highly anxious and stressed out and, it's all a muddle, then it might be a good time to look at how is this working? Do you need some support? Do things need to change? But also being able to make those very freeing decisions within your family unit without feeling judged or without being worried about. I mean, you might be judged. We're all judged, aren't we, by whoever wants to be, and that is not our responsibility. We cannot carry the weight of other people's choices, what they think, what they say. Who cares? We really have to say that. Who cares? This is where we're at. This is our mental and emotional well-being. This is the well-being of our home and our whole family, each individual child, and we have to be able to make good, educated, conscious decisions without feeling the pressure of whoever, you know, whoever they are, the kind of judging fingers of social media. And I would encourage each mother, whether, you know, whatever stage they're at, whether they've got their kids in school and they're considering home education, they're home educating and they're looking, they might need to implement some changes. Be free in those choices and seek God in those, you know, definitely prayerfully consider what that looks like. And really look at what is the vision for your family, what is the vision for your home, and how do you outwork that? Wholeheartedly.
And support each other, because I know that
Yes.
was a huge thing for me, is feeling like, but all my friends are homeschoolers, or most of them are, you know, like, will this drive a wedge between us because we won't have that commonality anymore? And especially two of my very dearest, closest friends that I kind of went to and was like, so is this going to change things? And I was so blessed that both of them said, absolutely not.
Good.
This won't change anything. We are partnering with you and your children no matter what, because we love you and we love your family. And we
So
know that
good.
you love us and you love our family, whatever our choices are. And we just want to be here to help you through the process no matter what. Because
Good.
if you are one of those, because I have another friend who's having a very different experience, and it breaks my heart for her that that's what she's going through, that she's facing more of the staunch side of the homeschool community that's saying, you said you'd always do this and now you're not. But here she is,
Yeah.
you know, this mom with a lot of kids and learning disabilities and issues, and she just feels so spread thin. And it's like, give her some grace, you know, how about support her through this process instead
Oh,
of just
goodness.
hammering her, because she didn't come to this decision lightly. I don't think anyone comes to any of these decisions
Of course we don't. No
lightly.
way.
Yeah, and we need to recognize that about each other and give each other credit for that. That, okay, you must have grappled with this decision if you brought it all the way to this point to talk to me about it, you know? So I think it's a learning experience for people who are making the other decisions and the people who are surrounding them. Like that, when you can really support somebody who's making different choices than you are making, even if you feel like that's what your friendship was founded on, that really takes your friendship to a whole new level. So
Of course it does.
let
Yes.
it do that work, because I think in the long run, you'll be very grateful and those friendships will be much more long lasting if it doesn't just stay centered on we're friends because we're homeschoolers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the human heart is bigger than that. We should go beyond that. I mean, it's, you know, I know there's commonality. I know we meet in various settings, whether it's online or real life, because of something that crosses our
Absolutely.
paths. But actually, if it's a true friendship, it goes way beyond all that. Way beyond all that. And I'm so glad that like you mentioned, your two friends who were really showing you that and saying, of course this doesn't matter, it's about you, and we love you and your family, and I'm so glad that you've got that, Mackenzie.
Oh,
That's so
I'm
good.
so glad too. And one of them is Katie Duckett. The other one's Rebecca. You guys hear about them all the time. But Katie Duckett, who is still going to be homeschooling, she's partnering with me on the Same Page podcast, which I love, because now we're able to bring both like the public mom perspective and the homeschool mom perspective
So good.
to this joint project, and kind of like unifying those two worlds, which is really exciting to me.
That's really
So,
good.
yeah.
Really good.
So,
Yay.
Leah, how are you currently cultivating loveliness in your life?
Well, so the UK are going through a crazy heat wave right now. We have
Usually hear
had,
that in
oh,
London, or
never.
I don't think
The,
that. Yeah.
yeah. So we have had, I can't remember all the stats because they keep changing. I mean, yesterday was the hottest day in the year or something. I mean, we keep getting these things thrown at us. So we are having, I don't think they've had a summer this long or this warm since the 60s or 70s or something. I mean, it is, and we don't have air conditioning, you know, we don't have anything like that because we're not used to it. We used to, you know, a summer would be you would have pockets of sunshine and days when you want to go to the seaside, and then you'd have lots of rain or cloud. And but you know, I woke up early to chat with you just before six, and it was, the house was warm, it was heavy. So saying all that, one of the things that the way that we're cultivating lovely in our home in the morning is various forms of iced water.
Which is also a
Crazy.
very rare thing in Europe.
Yes. Oh, I know. Ice. Yes. So buying bags of ice. And Dave and I were privileged to be able to go to Venice for a couple of days earlier in
Yes.
summer. And one of the things that our hotel greeted us with every day was ice with cucumber and mint in it. And ice water with cucumber and mint in it. And they would greet you at the door, and it was hot there, you know, pour it out. So I've come up with all these ideas of what to put in ice water. So I have mint growing in the garden. So cucumber and mint, lemon and lime, mint and lemon. I just keep changing it up,
That's so
but
fun.
having lots of ice water around. And it feels quite decadent, even though it's just water. You can make it
Yeah,
very exciting,
that's so
which
funny.
I think is, you know, the essence of cultivating the lovely is
Yeah.
sometimes in the simplicity of something quite mundane, we can add something very small, which can bring it to life and bring beauty to it.
Yeah.
Yes,
Absolutely.
amongst, you know, and we are grateful for the sunshine, but our poor country is struggling because of the heat. Not particularly just the people, but the crops, the
Yeah.
food that's growing, all the, and we don't have things like sprinkler systems and
Yeah,
yeah, air
crazy.
conditioning units. We don't have that because we're not used to it. We don't have a
So,
need for it, really.
what would a summer normally be? Because I'm looking here at London's weather on my app, and like, okay, I'm going to talk Fahrenheit, but it's saying that Wednesday is supposed to be like 86, which would be very like moderate here, at least in the
That's
Pacific
very
Northwest.
hot. That's
So,
very, very hot for
what
us.
would it normally be for you guys?
So,
So that's
I
like the
mean,
equivalent of I'm switching back and forth between Celsius and Fahrenheit trying to get a grasp of it. So it's
so
like
what is that? 20.
30 Celsius is like
Yeah,
86 Fahrenheit.
that's ridiculously hot. Is that today's forecast or
That's
tomorrow?
Wednesday. And see, that is like, oh, beautiful summer day here.
So here, that is ridiculously hot, and nobody can work. Like, people don't know what to do with themselves. So you might get it in the, you might get it in the 70s in the
Okay,
summer, you know.
okay.
I mean, we do get, you'll get the odd day when, so that's why we'll get this time when you'll just call it a heat wave, where they call it a heat wave. So you might get 3 or 4 days where it's in the 80s, you know, early 80s and
Well, I hate to
84.
break it to you. It's supposed to be 90 on Thursday.
No way. Is
Yeah,
it really? And I'm
that's what
in
it
London.
says.
I'm going to be
Yeah.
in London on Thursday. So if it, I mean, the south, obviously, you get it hotter in the south. We're about 2 hours north of London, so we tend
Okay.
to get it pretty hot here. Whereas Scotland might have different, quite different temperatures, or Yorkshire. But wow. Now, I don't remember ever experiencing that heat in the UK.
That's
People are going to be
crazy.
passing out. I mean, they generally are. The National Health Service will be giving, that they'll be kind of telling you how to look after yourself and your children and your elderly, because we're
See,
just not used to it
they'll be
at all.
telling us this, but this is something we hit every summer. But like
Okay.
Monday for us is supposed to be 101. And we're on fire watch
Are
because
you?
we're in the
Okay.
Northwest. Like, I mean, pretty much the whole west of the United States just goes up in flames every summer. So we've had major fires, like right actually in the city, which isn't very typical. But yeah, it's that's what
And
we look at.
I don't ever remember hearing about that here, but we've had some fires a few weeks ago. I know there was some fires because of the heat. So this is, I mean, this is, you know, in my lifetime, I don't remember. My parents talk about the couple of years just after I was born, we had some summers like this. But, you know, I'm 42 and I don't ever remember. I don't remember a summer like this. So we are, I mean, I don't, I love it. We just have the windows open and the air coming through and fans on. We don't mind it, but there's a, I mean, if you imagine the elderly in the UK who are just not used to this, bless them. They, so you have to go to the supermarkets, you know, you have to go in the wherever has aircon. You just go sit in a restaurant or get in your car if it's got aircon, and yeah, just try and survive.
My AC has been broken all summer in my car. And even when you have the windows down, it's just like hot air
Hot
blowing
air.
in on you.
I
And
know. I
it's,
know.
yeah, I told
It is.
Rebecca that it was preparing me for going to Arkansas because I was going to be able to be really acclimated to the heat. Because down there, she's been sending me
Oh,
stuff saying the heat index has been like 115 lately. So at least it's not
can't even
that.
imagine. Wow. So, how are you cultivating lovely, Mackenzie?
I am preparing tomorrow. I can't remember exactly when this podcast airs. It'll probably be well over by then. But starting tomorrow, my kids and I are going to get to house sit for actually the ducats, which is very
Oh,
fun,
great.
for 11 days. And
Oh, how nice.
yes, Katie just has. She is one of those people who knows how to create atmosphere. I mean, it's just you walk into her house and you instantly feel at home, and there's just beauty everywhere, and nothing is too small to think about and have purpose and beauty. And I'm just so excited to have this whole house for 11 days. It just feels
That'll
unreal.
feel like a vacation.
It
How nice.
will, yeah. And
Yeah.
I mean, we still are going to have a ton going on, and we have a lot
Of
of
course.
driving because they live like way on the opposite side of town of us. But
Okay.
it's still, we're just all so excited to just kind of get to be us and be a little
Yes.
family for a while. And so we're just really looking forward to that. And I'm just going to soak up every minute of having a bed in a bedroom and all of it. Like this weekend,
Oh, bless you.
I happen to not
Yeah.
have the kids this weekend, and I'm like, I'm just not leaving that house. Like, I'm just gonna be
Absolutely.
in
Yeah.
that house by myself, and no one will come through Saturday morning to take the dogs outside and walk right by my bed. And like,
Yeah.
I will just get to be there and do my work and read. And she's recently just done a ton of stuff to their house, well, her and her husband, because, well, they were wanting to do some renovations, but they also have been going through a home study to be adopting some children. And so they've done all these crazy, amazing things to their house. And if you guys caught my Insta stories from her birthday party, it was an Anne of Green Gables birthday party, and it
Oh,
was
how lovely.
amazing. I mean, she had like a flower crown station that you would wrap
Oh,
real
wow.
flowers on floral wire and
Oh.
make a crown. And she had all these different like seating vignettes and food that was themed and just music and decorations. I mean, nothing is too small for her to think of. And I walk in there and I'm like, I don't even, I, what, how? Like, where did this, like, I consider myself a creative person, but I don't have this gift. Like, this is
That sounds
amazing.
incredible.
Yeah, it's just like she knows how to transport you to a different world. And so I'm just so excited for us to just get to go and soak up that goodness for a while. And then as soon
Oh,
as
I'm
we get
so glad.
back, we're going to be heading into like camp after camp after camp, and then wham, we're in school. So
Okay.
it's kind of this nice last break before life gets super
Yes.
crazy.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm so glad you're getting to do that. That's
Yes,
great.
me
Yeah,
too.
and your parents get a bit of a breather as well.
Yes, which we could all use right now.
Oh,
So we're all looking forward
awesome.
to it. We all were, the kids and I were gone for a week last month, and now we'll be gone for 11 days. My mom actually today was like, wait, 11 days? Like, I thought it was just a week. I was like, nope, it's almost 2 weeks. Soak it up, but don't get too used to it because we'll be back.
Yes.
So,
Oh.
yeah. So, anyway, that's my goodness right
I
now.
love it. It's great.
But thank you so much for chatting with me, Leah. You getting up early, me staying up late. We're in two totally
Yeah.
different days,
My
but we made it happen.
daughter, Naya, has just waved to me from the window on her way to school. So she's got
Crazy.
2 more days left of this term. So she I
Which is
put a sign
also
on I put a
wild.
sign on the door, do not disturb.
Which I just wanted to hit on really quickly. We were saying it's so weird because in the US we've been let out of school for quite a while, and in
Just
England,
finishing here. They take the breaks, they kind of split them out throughout the year a little bit more.
that's
So you get
nice.
longer at Easter, longer at Christmas, you get half term breaks, so you scatter them out when the
Yeah.
summer break is 5 to 6 weeks. I mean, some private schools might get 8 weeks, but generally, so Naya will have, 5 and a half weeks. So she finishes Wednesday and then she's back in September. So we haven't quite got into our summer break mode yet, but
Yeah.
we're almost there. Yeah, isn't that
Yeah, it's
strange?
so
I
weird.
know.
I think it's a great idea though, because it just makes the year feel more tolerable.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One
Six
more
weeks
thing
is.
the US needs to catch up with.
Yeah, I know. But then you guys would be in school when the heat is crazy hot, right? You would be, if you did it our way.
Yeah. Ours and
Yeah.
ours will be just starting to tone down by the time we're going back to school. So, well, thank you. I hope you survive the heat wave.
Yes,
Yes.
I will. I'll let you know if we do. But yeah,
Okay.
it's so lovely to talk to you.
Yes, and we will talk at least in 6 months. We'll come back with the follow-up to this
Yes, let's do
episode.
it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah.
I'm more
Oh.
between there, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies. Well, I hope that discussion with Leah helped you to feel like you could have some grace with wherever you are in your educating journey with your kids, because I know it helps so much when we can have grace on ourselves and grace for each other, and it can be a really hard thing to come to. But hopefully, hearing a little bit of our experience and our perspective helped you to think a little bit more about yours as well. All right, as you've been hearing throughout this episode, our brand new podcast, The Same Page, is releasing on August 27th. But if you're in our Patreon community, not only do you get all the goods from Cultivating the Lovely, you also get to be a part of this new community called the Yellow Brick Road Community. You get to become a Dorothy and get all of the extra information that we have going on about that, the schedule, and all of that kind of thing. Especially if you're a homeschooler, you may want to get that schedule so that you can factor it into what you're going to be learning for the year. But even if you're not, I'm not a homeschooler anymore, but I created this resource because I feel like it's something that I really wanted to have with my kids. I really wanted this to be a part of our family culture, my family's memories of what we did together every single day. And so I really hope that this is a resource that all of you guys will be able to use as well. You can head over to patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely to get all of the details on that. You can also head over to thesamepagepodcast.com for little snippets of what's coming. That website will be fully done as we are heading through the month. But like I said, those members, those Dorothys, are the ones who are going to get everything first. So head over there if you want in on the action. All right, thank you for leaving those ratings and reviews in iTunes. Last week was actually our highest downloads for a day one episode ever, which is amazing in the middle of the summer that that would happen. I was truly blessed and so excited that that happened. And it really makes a difference when a lot of you download the show, share it with your friends. It just means that we can bring you even better content and even more content. And I am so, so appreciative because it's also a way that helps support my family just by downloading the episodes. So thank you to all of you who listened and downloaded and told your friends. All right, that's it for this week's episode. Until next week, ladies, go be bold and gracious.